This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Yeah, well, the big news coming out of Antrim County, Michigan this morning, Pete, is that a judge actually granted our team access to 22 of the Dominion voting machines for us to conduct a forensic audit.
Let's get this done with.
They have glitches, as they call them, glitches. The glitches weren't glitches. They got caught.
Caught you red-handed.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
They stole the election. Not the first one they stole, not the last one they're going to steal unless you do something about it. But you do something real, not, let's see how we're going to fix it. You've been fixing it for years, and it hasn't gotten fixed.
Fix.
They've been stealing elections for years, and this time they got a chance to steal it really big.
You stole it!
Well, I think it's real simple. Democrats want to control your life.
Back off, man!
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Instead of discarding, they were just rescanning, counting ballots 9 to 10 times, counting votes 9 to 10 times.
Again and again.
From these duplicate ballots I observed, none of them were for Trump. None of them. And from the other two shifts or two rounds that we did earlier, only one ballot that I witnessed from a duplicate was for Trump.
When I asked one lady, where did you get trained? She said, trained for what? Because they didn't know what they were there for. Their only job, I could tell there, was to block the GOP people from challenging or intimidate them and get them out.
Unchained and unstoppable.
We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. We will never give in. We will never give up. And we will never back down. We will never, ever surrender.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats, beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. You know, I thought they were BFFs, best friends forever. Marty Walsh, the mayor of Boston, and Charlie Parker, the Rhino governor of Massachusetts. But apparently their relationship is getting a bit frayed over the fact that that Charlie Parker thinks that maybe they should cut back a little bit on the number of trains and subways and buses that they're running in Boston and ferries, because nobody is on them. And they're running up even more huge deficits than normal on the MBTA because all this is going on. And so Marty had a press conference today and said, we need to keep the trains and buses and subways running just like always, basically. But let me tell you what the ridership is. And this is from the Globe. And the Globe is totally on team lockdown. Transit ridership remains far below normal levels. Commuter rail and ferry ridership is down by close to 90%. 90%! Why are they running as many trains into Boston when the ridership is down 90%? Subway trips are down about 75%. So if there were four people in a car, in an average car, or probably more like 12 people in an average car, or 20 people in an average car. So now there would only be, if there were 20 people in an average car at rush hour, there would be five now. Five. 75%. Bus rides are down 60%. So Marty wants to keep the lines running just like normal because he says, you know, when things come back and we have a vaccine, everyone will be back in the city and they'll need to come in on the sub. How many people, Marty, how many people you think are ever coming back to the city to work in the city? Not many. How many do you think are even going to be in Massachusetts? And while we're at it, how many people are going to take the vaccine? There was a story in the New York Post over the weekend. The first vaccines are supposed to go to the first responders, you know, right? So that would include the fire department in New York. Over half of the people that were polled over half of the union members that were polled by the union said they're not going to get the they're not going to get the vaccine. Now, a lot of them apparently think they've already think they've had it or already have had it, so they don't think they need it. But if 55% of the first responders won't get it, how many people do you think are going to get it, Marty? But anyway, so they asked Baker about this press conference that his pal Marty had had, saying that they had to keep the MBTA up and running, even though nobody's riding it anymore. Cut one.
I think raising taxes to run more empty buses and trains is a bad idea.
Wow, he almost sounds like a Republican. Almost.
Okay, folks. You're asking me to answer a hypothetical, and until I have more than a hypothetical, some of them, yeah. I think running empty trains and buses, as a general rule, is bad public policy. I think making sure that you have a system that actually serves the people who want to ride it, when they want to ride it, and the way they want to ride it, is the right way to go. And I think the fact that the T is using this as an opportunity to continue to make billion-dollar investments in their core system.
Now he's sounding more like a Democrat. Investments.
So that when we get past all this, we have a much better infrastructure.
When will that
be, system can run,
Charlie
than the one we have now, as their primary focus is exactly the right thing to do. And I also think the decision to say that we just can't run empty trains and empty buses over and over and over again is a perfectly appropriate response. The key question here is what happens when people start to come back? And I think
they're not coming back
to do this so that they will be able to reinstate service
right
pretty easily and pretty quickly if and when riders come back is exactly the right way to be approaching this.
Marty and Charlie both are like the proverbial guy who killed his parents and then throws himself on the mercy of the court as an orphan. I mean, they did this. They did this. This is their doing, especially Charlie Parker with the 2/3 dead in the nursing homes. Here's one, 805. I take the Worcester Rail commuter line every day. I take the 5 p.m. train out of South Station. The train used to be completely full. Probably 75 people on each level of the double-decker coaches. Today, there were four on my level. Four. And that's one of the busiest trains of the day. Yeah. I was shocked when I read that it's down 95% on the commuter rail. I'd read that it was down 75% on the subways and a little less on the buses, but I didn't know it was down 90%. Why would you... What possible reason other than to give good jobs and good wages to union people would you want to keep running the trains if nobody's on them? It's absurd. 207, have you ever seen what happens to an empty house? What the hell is the subway system going to look like? You know what the subway system is going to look like? It's going to look like downtown Boston. It's tumbleweed town. It's like a ghost town in an old Western. There's nothing there anymore. They put everything out of business. And few are hanging on. Charlie Parker is talking about getting closing down. Here he is talking about how most people in Massachusetts do the right thing. Doing the right thing, that means following his orders to commit economic suicide for no particular reason other than that he says to do it. Cut three.
But there is a legitimate cause and effect thing going on here. And as Eric Dixon said last week, and I thought it was perfect, most people in Massachusetts most of the time do the right thing, and God bless them. Because I think a big part of the fact that our trend looks a lot different this time of year than it did last spring has a lot to do with that. But now that everybody's inside and you can't be outside as much as you used to be, it's critically important for people to up their game.
Up their game.
And as we head into this holiday season, even more so.
It's hard to up your game when you're unemployed, Charlie Parker. Why don't you up your game by not taking a salary for a year or so And Sutter's, too. You know, the Sutter's, that woman, she's the head of the health commission. She's a doctor, you know. Doctor. You know where she got her doctorate from? Bridgewater State. An honorary doctorate. And they call her a doctor. Like Dr. Farrar out in L.A. She's the one who shut down the whole city. The second largest city in the United States is shut down because of Dr. Farrar. You know what her doctorate's in? Social work from Brandeis.
Oh, she's a police officer?
No. She used to be a principal at she lived in Jamaica Plain. She was a principal of a middle school. Then she didn't like that. I guess there was too much responsibility, and so she got a hack job at City Hall, and she worked at Boston City Hall, I guess, till Mumbles moved on. Mumbles, was out. So then she moved to L.A. and became Dr. Farrar. And Garcetti is always calling her Dr. Farrar, like she's a real doctor. Good Lord. 844-500-4242. 617. How we think about the carbon footprint of a diesel locomotive carrying just 8 passengers. I was thinking about that. What about the cost? Forget the carbon footprint. What about the cost? How much does it cost to run an empty trains back and forth, back and forth? I don't think subways are that inexpensive to run either. Running off the grid, off of an electric grid, right? And buses? Buses are great for the environment with those fumes. All right, we're going to take some more calls here when we come back. 844-500-4242. I got a few more Baker cuts, and I also have some cuts from LA as well. Folks, meet your new work chair. It's the Backstrong chair, and I've been using it for the last few weeks and I feel great. You know that soreness and stiffness you get when you sit too long while working? It's gone now. My body feels good when I'm sitting in my Backstrong office chair. And this is important. When I get out of the chair to walk around, I actually feel refreshed. Poorly designed office chairs can lead to severe pains in your back, and that means they spread to your neck and your shoulders and everywhere else. Back pain is the worst. But not when you use the Backstrong chair. It guarantees you good posture. You literally cannot slouch, all while stimulating circulation and improving flexibility. The patented Backstrong chair was designed by a nationally recognized chiropractor to help you overcome discomfort from sitting too long. The chair keeps you moving throughout the day, which is what your back, body, and brain need to be healthy and pain-free. When you sit better, you feel better. The Backstrong chair is the best ergonomic chair for reducing back and neck pain. And it's super comfortable, perfect for your home or office, backed by hundreds of 5-star reviews and a 60-day money-back guarantee. If you're still not going to work every day in the office or wherever your workplace is and you're at home, you need a chair you can sit in that's not going to give you back pain that won't go away. You need a Backstrong chair. You need a Backstrong chair in your regular office, too, but you need one in your home if you're there, too. To get yours, go to Backstrong.com today to save $100 and get free shipping. Use discount code Howie. Remember, save $100 and get free shipping on your Backstrong chair at Backstrong.com. Use discount code Howie. That's Backstrong.com, discount code Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave, he's debonair, he's Howie Carr.
Maybe you know what a zombie is.
You see them sometimes, walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Howie Carr is back.
Experience the amazing benefits of Super Beats Chews. When you purchase 2 bags of Super Beats Chews, they'll throw in a free bag of Super Beats Chews and a free bag of vitamin D3 Chews. Hurry to www.superbeatsradio.com/Howie. That's www.superbeatsradio.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Which contested state is President Trump most likely to prevail in first? Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, Michigan, or Wisconsin?
I'm going to say Georgia.
32% say Georgia, 44% say Pennsylvania. Everybody else is below 10%.
All right. 844-500-4242. 857. 8:10 a.m. train from North Station to Lowell today. Returned at 4 p.m. Pre-COVID, both were packed. Today, whole car to myself both ways, exclamation point. Here's a good suggestion. 508. Can you FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, the cost of per passenger info? That is a really good idea. Yes, we can. It'll take a while, but we'll try to get it. That would be a great review of the masterful stewardship by Charlie Parker to show why he needs to triple the gas tax. 617, it would probably be cheaper to put people on the ride than to run those empty trains. Yes, it would. I think it would be significantly cheaper, actually. 844-500-4242. Tom, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tom.
Howie, I think it's great that you're focusing on this election and the mail fraud of these ballots. The thing is, someone should take a look at the U.S. Postal Inspection Service. They're the ones who enforce the 200 federal crimes related to mail. However, they have been reduced in size in the last decade, where there's now only 1,200 U.S. postal inspectors to do this on the mail.
Well, there's a lot less mail, though. I mean, Tom, I know they do a job, but there's a lot less mail than there used to be, isn't there?
But they didn't have all these ballots in the mail. And the point I wanted to make with you, Howie, let the people look at Wikipedia on the Postal Inspection Service, but look at the federal judge that was involved with the general who had to be pardoned by Trump, Emmett Sullivan. On October 22nd, he issued an order changing the policy of the Postal Service in regards to handling this election mail and the mails that were coming in. So that was the state of New York versus Donald J. Trump in his official capacity as president of the United States.
Mm-hmm. So let me check that out, Tom, and see what – I haven't heard anything about that. Emmett Sullivan, he's a real piece of work. Boy, did he turn out to be a foul ball. You know, after Sidney Powell wrote the book, Made Him the Hero, and then he turned into a deep state swamp creature. Thanks for the call, Tom. Dan, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dan.
Howie, I just want to know, maybe if you know, I'm just totally lost here. The FBI, the Justice Department, the CIA, nobody wants to investigate solid evidence, first with Biden and Hunter, and now with this obvious fraud with this election. I feel like we're just all sitting here just waiting for Biden to get sworn in.
I know, Dan. I understand your frustration. I feel the same thing, but I don't know what to do. Neither do you, right?
That's what I was asking you. There's got to be some kind of law or something that the founders must have thought of this.
Well, the founders did think of it, and that's why they left it up to the legislatures. You know, the legislatures, I can read you the Constitution at some point, maybe after the break. Article 2, I think it is. It's up to the legislatures to make the final call on the electors. But Dan, if the electors, if the legislatures that are controlled by Republicans in almost all of these states, except for Nevada, I think, if they don't have the cojones to do anything, then it doesn't matter what the founding fathers planned. Right? The founding fathers had just been through a revolution against the most powerful country in the world at the time, Great Britain, and that prevailed. They weren't afraid. These guys are afraid of a bad tweet.
Wow. So what are we waiting for here? What is the president? So is it this Insurrection Act is the only thing that he can?
I don't think that's not going to happen, Dan. That's I mean, again, Flynn suggested that, General Flynn, but he's dreaming. He's not going to use the Insurrection Act. I mean, there's talk now that he's going to announce that, you know, he's going to, you know, admit reality at some point. I hope not soon. And Inauguration Day, January 20th, he's going to have a big rally down here in Florida and announce that he's running for president again in 2024. But this is just so shocking that, I mean, could there be a weaker president of the United States than Joe Biden? And they say he got more votes than anyone in history? I don't think so. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That's really a good question about a FOIA on how much these trains are costing everybody. Here's another question that somebody has. I don't know the answer to this one. If you have an entire train to yourself, do you still have to wear a mask? That's an excellent question. I don't know the answer to it. I want to play, before we go back to the Massachusetts calls and Charlie Parker and also the election, I want to play a cut from a bar owner in L.A. And this is, you know the situation in L.A., I think. Here's the latest directive from the mayor. All persons living within the city of Los Angeles are hereby ordered to remain in their houses. All travel, including without limitation, travel on foot, bicycle, scooter, motorcycle, automobile, or public transit is prohibited. Okay? You can still go out to shop for food, I guess, but you can't walk your dogs. That's what I'm told. So there's a woman, Angela Marsden. She's the owner of the Pineapple Hill Saloon and Grill in Sherman Oaks. And she showed an outdoor patio. She put out a video on Friday. It showed an outdoor patio space she's not allowed to use. This is her own place. She spent $80,000 spiffing it up so she could use it. But it's right next to a large tented space for a movie production company that's using it to feed its workers. So these people have just drifted into the city. They get to use it because they're from Tinseltown. They're from La La Land, and she's just a regular restaurant owner in L.A. So she doesn't. So Garcetti and City Hall approved it for the movie to be open and serve food, but not for her, even though she's a taxpayer paid into the, got the $80,000 on local businesses to get her outdoor section set up. But this is what she said here. Cut 10.
I'm losing everything. Everything I own is being taken away from me. And they set up a movie company right next to my outdoor patio, which is right over here. And people wonder why I'm protesting and why I have had enough. They have not given us money and they have shut us down. We cannot survive. My staff cannot survive. Look at this. Tell me that this is dangerous, but right next to me as a slap in my face, that's safe. This is safe. 50 feet away, this is dangerous. Mayor Garcetti and Gavin Newsom is responsible for every single person that doesn't have unemployment, that does not have a job, and all the businesses that are going under. And we need your help. We need somebody to do something about this.
God. Her whole business down the drain. Well, somebody who's, amongst the beautiful people gets to operate with impunity, with the imprimatur of the idiot mayor and his idiot health director. And this mayor, by the way, he just had his top aide had to leave because he was grabbing people's men's Johnsons. And they kept saying, oh, there's nothing to this, until somebody came up with a picture of him, of the aide grabbing somebody's crotch while the mayor is right beside them smiling. I mean, what the hell is wrong? And Gavin Newsom, he just lost an aide because he was charged with trying to suffocate, apparently, his girlfriend's kid while he was drunk and stoned. These are the people that are making the decisions about the largest state in the country? 844-500-4242. Rocky, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rocky.
Howie, I'm going to put in for a pacemaker early, even though my heart's all right, because it's going to blow up if I keep listening to you and the news and all the crap going on around me. What the hell is going on? I'm 63 years old. The country's coming unglued. It's being destroyed from within. What? All the corruption. Are they just going to bypass everything and Dementia Joe takes over? I mean, what the hell's going on?
I'm going to say the same thing to you. I said to Dan, the last caller, I don't know. The founding fathers said it's up to the legislatures to decide who are the electors. I mean, what more election fraud do you want to see before you step in? If you're the Speaker of the House in Pennsylvania or wherever, or the President of the Senate in Georgia, what more do you need to see, Rocky, before you step in and say, we're going to appoint some electors that are going to reflect the majority of this state, who are the people who voted for Donald Trump?
Everybody's got their hand out they owe everybody. Everybody owes somebody a favor. That's why they hate Trump, because he ain't part of the swamp. He's not perfect, but he's not one of them. He doesn't owe anybody anything. And that's what's sad, that they're, I don't know. I'm going to go shoot myself. Thanks, Howie. Bye.
No need to shoot yourself, Rocky. Come on. Come on. I'll give you some more weird news, though. I have to say this because I don't want it to slip by. The Boston Globe has actually been doing a couple of good stories about this retired Boston police detective named Robert Tully. The story, and here's the headline from yesterday: the story behind a Boston police detective who benefited from two public cover-ups, and these were cases where they did. The Globe basically says that it was drunken driving, but Robert Tully was never charged with drunken driving. When the transit cop stopped him, the driver allegedly smelled of liquor, acted belligerently, and threatened to sue. Boston police sent three officers 15 miles south of the city to collect their man, who on that night in 2009 had recklessly and dangerously driven a department car, antagonized the transit cop, and tried to evade arrest, according to documents obtained by the Globe. Later, the police report would be sealed. And so Tully, this is Robert Tully, was free to drink and drive and in danger again. I'm reading from the Globe. Almost 5 years later, just before Christmas in 2013, he was once again behind the wheel of an unmarked police cruiser with alcohol on his breath when he crashed into a nurse driving home from work. The nurse, Danielle Coughlin, spent 4 days in the intensive care unit with a broken sternum, a lacerated liver, and a head injury. And her father tried to get the district attorney of Plymouth County to do something. But guess what happened? Guess what happened? The Globe obtained emails through a records request to show the district attorney's Cruz's office looked briefly into the case a little more than a year after it happened. So they asked the officials like the Boston city government and Cruz's office, why didn't you do anything? Why didn't you do anything? Marty Walsh, he released the same statement he had weeks earlier when they first reported about when he injured the nurse, this guy Robert Tully. Any misconduct in the Boston Police Department is wholly unacceptable, blah, blah, blah. Plymouth District Attorney Timothy Cruz. District Attorney's Office rely on trained police officers to make on-scene determinations of whether to issue citations. In other words, it's not my job. The DA's office would not have been aware of the incident and at all in the ordinary course of events. This isn't the Rockland Police Department. Well, Robert Tully, again, those are the statements from Mayor Marty Walsh, and Plymouth District Attorney Cruz. Would you care to guess whether or not Robert Tully, who was lucky enough not to be charged in either of these incidents, do you think he was a contributor to District Attorney Cruz? What would you guess, Taylor?
I dare not hazard a guess.
$800. Would you care to guess if Detective Tully was a campaign contributor to Mayor Walsh?
Yes.
Yes, $650. Would you care to guess if he gave money to Charlie Parker?
I'm starting to see a pattern here. I'm going to say yes.
Yes, he was. Would you care to guess if he donated money to Sal DeMacy, the convicted felon, former Speaker of the Massachusetts House of Representatives?
Is this also a yes?
That would be a yes, too. Yes.
I think I'm getting the hang of it.
Yeah, that's in the Office of Campaign and Political Finance Records. Robert Tully from Hanover. You can look it up for yourself if you'd like to. Just thought I'd mention that. For once, the Globe did a good story, but they neglected to do one thing, and that was to check out the OCPF website. Richie, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Richie.
Hey, Howie, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, you were talking about the MBTA earlier. I was at a rail crossing at Matfield Street, and I'm not sure if it's West Bridgewater or East Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Well, it had the double-decker, the usual setup for commuter traffic on a Friday night, and it was well after 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
If there were a dozen people on the whole damn thing, I'd be surprised.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, that it's even a controversy that they want to stop running so many of these trains. I mean, what company in the private sector could keep running empty trains like this? You know?
That's what I'm trying to say. It's taken almost 9 months for them to realize. I have a lot of friends in the restaurant industry.
Yeah.
And they're all struggling. And the government, 9 months later, they're still doing a study trying to figure out.
Right.
Well, we're losing money doing 20% or less, but yet you're making restaurants do it. And I was at a restaurant last night. I'm going to say the name, the Cape Cod Cafe. And they're at less than 50% of their staffing, and on a Sunday night during football season,
yeah,
there might have been 18 people there.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, they and the T, even today, after Marty Walsh and some city councilors complained about the layoffs, they said they're going to put it off until January to consider this. So, in other words, the trains are going to be running empty all through Christmas and into the new year, and the just bleeding red ink, and for what? It's ridiculous. Thanks for the call. Let's have Charlie Parker talking about I don't understand these reporters. I guess we talked to it last week. There was one reporter who was asking him some tough questions about why he never talked about deaths, only cases. But today they were back to their normal thing. It's like they want more shutdowns. I don't know if these people in the media understand that having an abandoned state capital, which is the biggest city in the region, and no tax base left, and all these people unemployed who were working a year ago, is not good for their TV, newspaper, radio station. It's going to kill everything. Everybody really is in this together, even though they don't seem to be able to figure it out. So listen to this question. I don't know how good it is, but the reporter is asking Baker if the term guidance is giving people a sense that it isn't a rule. In other words, he wants Charlie to speak in a real German accent and just demand Achtung, Achtung, you know? You will stand down or you will be arrested. But listen to this, cut 5.
Well, I guess it depends to some extent on how aggressively that guidance can be enforced. I mean, the ABCC aggressively enforces the guidance over the entities with which they have jurisdiction. The Department of Labor Standards, same thing. The Department of Professional Licensure, same thing. Local boards of health, same thing.
So in other words, I'm screwing them. Don't worry. I'm screwing them.
To actually enforce guidance. In many cases, have successfully done that. And have cited people, fined people, and shut people down who weren't abiding by the rules. You know, whether you want to call them rules or guidance, for all intents and purposes,
we just want to put them out of business.
There are enforcement entities that are in a position to do something when people violate those rules. And they have. Since the beginning. Well, I guess it depends to some extent on how aggressive.
Enforcement entities. I love that. Enforcement entities. If you haven't tried Super Beats soft chews, you're missing out on some great stuff. They're wrapped like little candies, and they taste sweet, but they are good for you, unlike candy. They're made from non-GMO beets, and they're combined with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. They're great for your heart health, for your blood pressure, for your circulation. and they're easy to carry around with you all day long. Just stick them in your pocket and pull it out like you would a candy wrapped in foil. The grapeseed extract used in Superbeats Chews has been clinically shown to be twice as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Superbeats Chews promotes heart-healthy energy the way nature intended, without caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just two delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support and the energy you want. And if you love Superbeats Chews, you'll love their all-new delicious Vitamin D3 Chews. Vitamin D3 has been in the news a lot lately for its ability to support immune health. Humans' all-new Vitamin D3 Chews provide high-potency vitamin D3 for a convenient and delicious way to support your immune health all year round. You take two of these a day, whatever time you want. I have one in the morning before I even have a cup of coffee. Then I have one before the show, and it keeps me going all through the day. And now you can get a free bag of Vitamin D3 Chews and a free bag of Superbeats Chews when you buy two bags of Superbeats Chews at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. That's right. When you purchase two bags of Superbeats Chews, they'll throw in a free bag of Superbeats Chews and a free bag of Vitamin D3 Chews. Hurry to superbeatsradio.com/Howie. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr. You can trust him. He's not like the others. On the radio and on the big screen. Twice.
I am big. It's the picture that got small.
Howie Carr is back.
802 says, let's defund the enforcement entities. That's what he called. We have enforcement entities. And 413 says, since when do guidelines get enforced? I thought a guideline was a guideline, a suggestion. You're right. How do you enforce a guideline? I was just saying, why are the journalists, quote unquote, so into this this totalitarian, authoritarian view about just enforcing and shutting down everything despite all the evidence that it's not working? 508 says, if you're a journalist under 40 with journalism as a career, you need a trust fund in order to tolerate the risk and low pay. And if you have a trust fund, you're not connected to reality and the economic concerns of the masses. I would think you'd get the press picking up a paper that's the size of a supermarket insert every day, or, you know, just having no real ads on your TV station. I would think that would bother them, but apparently not. Let me read you the electoral about the legislatures. This is, I mean, and again, I understand your frustration. I feel it as well. We all do. This is what they could do. Each state shall appoint, this is the Constitution, each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress. So each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature may therefore thereof may direct. So it's up to the legislature to make this decision. And Mark Levin, I was just looking on Google, and Mark Levin had said that on his show. He said it repeatedly. We've all said it. And so one of the fact checkers said that's partly false. How is it partly false? I mean, to quote Bill Belichick, it is what it is. Each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress. I mean, what part of that does some stupid left-wing fact-checker not understand? 844-542-42. I'm going to get right on that FOIA thing with the commuter rail, the MBTA trains. The purple line is bleeding red ink big time. See you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.